If your goal and your passion is to have a real business, you have to price it so that you can pay yourself and pay your expenses and be accountable for all of that and have the type of lifestyle that you want to have.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast, episode 132. Hey there, it's Tracy Matthews here, the Chief Visionary Officer over at Flourish and Thrive Academy, and your host today for Thrive by Design. And look, I am super excited to be here today. I have a very special guest, but I'm more excited about the topic because I know a lot of designers out there, a lot of you makers, you're making stuff, you're comparing yourself to pricing on Etsy, and you're at shows, and you're getting like cheap people walking around who don't appreciate the value that you offer. And you keep getting people who you think aren't willing to pay what your jewelry is actually worth. And, you know, I consider those people kind of bargain type shoppers, right? So we're going to talk a little bit more about how to stop attracting bargain shoppers in your jewelry business. And I have a special guest who's going to walk us through how she's handled this, Anna Maria Andrekin. I'm excited to have Anna here today because not only is she a graduate of our Laying the Foundation course, but she is also one of our Diamond Insiders coaches and was a Laying the Foundation coach last year and will continue to be ongoing. So Anna, it has a really great history, and I want to share a little bit more about her business and her brand. She has a company called Jewel of Ivana. She is also a former Broadway star, which is super fun. She was Belle in Beauty and the Beast, just a little Broadway show called Beauty and the Beast. And she has a lot of other really great roles behind her belt, including Fantine in Les Miserables and Eva Peron in Evita. So she is playing lots of starring roles, which is pretty, pretty awesome. And so many more. I'm not even going to list them all out. But jewelry started as a hobby for her when she was in her dressing room on these Broadway shows. She would start making jewelry, and members of her cast and members of the staff wanted to actually buy some product for her. So when her husband was relocated to Baton Rouge, she started her business, Jewel of Havana. And she uses the skills that she's learned running a successful career as an actress, combined with building a small business from the ground up to coach and mentor other artists, which she does over here at Flourish and Thrive, to teach people how to grow in the business and the arts. So nothing makes her more happy than watching people follow their passion and reach their goals. So you can check her out over at jewelofhavana.com. But the most important thing about Anna Maria is that when she decided to take her business full-time, she found us somehow, like right at the start, and has used a lot of the tools that we've taught her over the years that she's learned in Laying the Foundation in some of our other courses to really build a thriving jewelry business. You're going to hear about her bout with breast cancer and how she was actually increasing her sales during that period and eliminating a lot of the shows that she was typically doing at that time to keep her jewelry business going when she was sick, and how she's really changed her lifestyle so that she can build her business around her lifestyle, not her lifestyle around her business, which I think all of us are trying to do, and to really create a sustainable brand where she is reducing the number of shows that she's doing and increasing her online presence so that she's building consistent sales. In fact, right before we recorded this episode, you're going to hear me talk a little bit about it in the episode. She said, "I might cry on this episode because some really great things have happened in my business. Just even in these last few weeks, all this work that I've put in is finally paying off like tenfold, even what it was over last year." So I'm just so excited for Anna, and I'm excited to share her story. So I'd love to dive in. But before we do, I wanted to share with you a really amazing program that we have that's going live for the last time, probably ever, called Laying the Foundation. And its enrollment is opening today. And I'm really excited for this course because this has been one of the courses that has been really life-changing for so many designers in our community. They have learned how to make more, how to actually get a lot more exposure. And they discovered how to build that cycle of repeat sales or consistent sales in their business, so they're not always scrambling or having to deal with people bargain shopping. It really comes down to our proven four-pillared platform that includes how to really communicate your brand and create a brand voice that you're known for, how to build a collection that sells, how to share desire in the sharing economy, as we like to call it these days. Really, that's like how to sell consistently in your business and make things work for you. And then we also talk about how to build insane desire for your brand in our marketing session, which is super fun. So I'd love to invite you to join us. Enrollment is open for about a week. You can head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/LTF to check out all the details. All right, let's dive into this episode with Ana Maria. Hey everyone, it's Tracy here. And I have a very special guest, Ana Maria Andrekin. And I'm super excited to have Ana on the show because, wow, I've watched her journey over the past 5 years. It's been pretty amazing. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. And the topic of today's show is about all about how to stop selling at a discount and how that actually affects your sales in a positive way and helps you make more money. And it's not really what you think. So I'm really excited for this episode today because Ana is going to tell all. Are you excited? Welcome.
Hi, Tracy.
It's so great to have you here. So Ana's brand is Jewel of Ivana. And Ana, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about you and your journey. And I'll do like a formal intro in the intro and outro to this episode. But you've been in the jewelry industry for a while. You're a former Broadway actress. You kind of have a really, really interesting journey of how you kind of got into jewelry and why you started doing it. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about your journey and kind of what brought you to where you are now? Because that's the fun part.
I feel like I have a crazy journey.
You do, but it's awesome. It's
convoluted.
Awesome.
And so I grew up in Louisiana in Baton Rouge. And when I was 18, I went to college and moved to New York City and started working on Broadway as an actor. Had a really great, fun career, never meant to leave or stop doing it. But I got married and he got this great job opportunity in Louisiana where my family is. And my sister had just had a baby. And so as much as I cried to leave New York and my career that I loved so much, that is how I ended up down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But to back up a little bit of how I got into the jewelry business, I was doing a show called Beauty and the Beast, which
a little show called Beauty and the Beast.
And I had these great break. You know, for people that don't know, when you're an actor, you're doing the same show 8 times a week. And although I loved what I did, and I would have never stopped doing it, when you're a creative person, repeating something over and over and over like that, you sort of lose that creative need that you have to fill. So I used to take pottery classes in New York and I was crocheting and doing all these things. And in beauty, a girl sitting next to me was making a pair of earrings. It was close to Christmas time. And I'm like, oh, that looks like fun. I had beaded scarves before and I'd never made jewelry, but I was like, oh, can you show me how to do that? And, you know, it was like earring on a stick, you know, like, it was super simple, but I just really enjoyed it. And so as I am apt to do, I'm a lifelong researcher and studier of all things people. And and so I just, as soon as she taught me how to do that, I started like studying everything about jewelry making and going to the gemstone warehouses in New York and just hoarding beads and doing all kinds of things in my dressing room. And cut to the next year, and there was a huge transit strike in New York City, and it was literally 4 days before Christmas. None of the guys in the cast or the crew had bought any Christmas gifts, and they were hey, Ana, don't you make jewelry? Like, could you make this for, you know, my friend, but this, my that? And without knowing how to price, how to run a business, nothing, I did like $2,000-$3,000 in my dressing room without
That's amazing.
Eating. And now I know that should have been like $6,000 or $7,000, but at the time I didn't know. And I was like, wow, this could be a business. Like people like what I'm doing. And people started ordering for the Tony Awards and for opening nights on Broadway. And a store saw one of my pieces and started ordering it. I mean, all just accidental, never looking to make this a business. And so it just sort of took off from there. One of the guys in the cast built me a website. We traded for jewelry, and another guy was starting a photography business. And so I traded him jewelry for his photo shoots, and it just literally everybody was bartering with each other. Yeah. And that's how it started. And so when Philip got this
barter
job
industry.
Offer,
Barter yes. industry
Total.
On Broadway.
I mean, you're starting off, you know, you have to do things on the cheap. So, anyway, all this to say, this business kind of took off on its own, was sort of a side gig. And when Philip got this job offer here in Louisiana, I'm like, what? I can't perform on Broadway down here. And so I thought, well, what if I gave this 100% of my attention and really built it into a real business, not just a fun side thing that sort of was happening on its own. So we moved here, and that is when I found you guys. So
right away,
because I knew I needed to learn. Look, I always tell people like the whole fake it till you make it thing.
Yeah.
So as an actor, you are constantly studying people. If you're going to play someone, you need to know, like, what do they do for a living? How do they do it? Like, what's their day like? What are all the little tiny details that people don't really think about when you're watching a show, but all those things inform like how you move, how you speak, like the accent, all those little details. So basically I was faking it at being a jeweler. Like I'd never like went to school for it. I knew how to run an acting business, but I had no clue what to do about, a jewelry business. And it had grown on its own without me knowing what to do at all. But, I knew I needed to find some real help with the business side, with, you know, all the things that I couldn't know from just observing and studying and on the internet. And so I found you guys, and I think it might have been like the second time you guys ever.
Yeah, I feel like it was a while ago.
Like you've
right
been around.
When
you started.
Yeah, you've been around in our community for a long time, because I remember, I think it was the second time, because the first time we ever ran a course or had anything that we actually did at Flourish and Thrive, it was in the fall, and that was sort of like our beta tested thing. And then we relaunched it in January, and I think you joined that time around.
Yeah,
so it must have been like four or five years ago. And I always remember looking at your jewelry because it was very unique, and we didn't have that many members or even that many people who even knew about Flourish and Thrive at that time. So you're one of the originals. And I think the most amazing thing about watching students in our community actually go from a place where they're selling jewelry as a side business or as a hobby or a side hustle, whatever you want to call it, or from their dressing room on Beauty and the Beast, like whatever. And watching you evolve kind of into really having this successful business. Before we even jump on this call, you texted me and you said, I think I might cry because this week has been one of the busiest weeks ever. And I am just so grateful for, I don't even know exactly what you said, but just maybe you didn't even say grateful, but you were just saying like, I might cry on the show because so many great things have happened this week because of everything that I've set up until that point.
Yeah. Well, I am grateful. I'm grateful to you.
I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. That was
no,
like really awkward.
That is the word I would use. it's the fact that you had this idea and that you put it out there and the community that you've built around the programs that you've started. It's such a great community. And even though I've been here for as long as I have, you still keep learning, you still keep leveling up. And I love that atmosphere of what you've created, you know, and how everybody just keeps leveling up and growing. And it's just so much fun. Cause when you stop learning, what fun is that? You know?
Exactly. As you mentioned, you've been around for a while. You've taken some of our courses. I'm not going to list them all, but I know you've been a part of our Laying the Foundation course. Then you're a member of our Diamond Insiders, and you were a Laying the Foundation coach last year, and now you're one of our Diamond Insiders coaches. So you really have like stuck around to support, and it's fun to see how you're like learning not only from the students, but also leveling up. And I know that one of the things that you've talked about a lot in our community is about what a bad idea it is to like actually discount. And I want to hear just a little bit more about, you know, when you started out, because you said, you know, I was selling from my dressing room and I sold maybe $2,000 or $3,000 worth of jewelry, but it should have been six or seven. So let's talk a little bit about that, like how you started pricing in the beginning and your mentality around discounting, et cetera, and sort of how that evolved.
Yes. So it's like a several layers to this answer to this. But first of all, laying the foundation, one of the modules you had was all about pricing and getting that correct. And, you know, a lot of people, especially on Etsy that I see, I mean, not to call it, Etsy is a wonderful platform, but people really underprice their jewelry.
Yeah.
And I'm always telling people you cannot compete on price. Like that is for Walmart and Target.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, for Amazon.
Amazon, we can't compete with that kind. We don't have the budget for the advertising that they have. We can't. So where we have to be is in the service side of things and,
yes.
and giving people a great customer experience and the quality and all, you know, and so in the first thing that was the big aha for me that made me literally more than double my income the first year after I took laying the foundation was getting the pricing correct. You know, we forget you have to pay yourself for your time.
Yeah.
You have to, in the beginning, I was just taking the materials and like doubling it. And that was it. Well, I mean, that's like less than wholesale.
It is.
So you're not even, that's why I said in the dressing room, I could have made like,
yeah, you're like, that was like 10 grand worth of jewelry. What's up?
I was so happy too. Like I had no, you know, ignorance is bliss, right? So, so anyway, so that was the first big thing is really, really getting serious about the business of jewelry or the business of art. You know, I would never have worked for that as an actor. Why was I settling for that as a jeweler? You know, in fact, I put more time into things as a jeweler than you do as an actor. So I should be making more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So anyway, so that was the first big thing was that big aha about all of the things that I was not taking into account, show fees, travel expenses, materials, my design time, like all, there's so much that goes into it. And if you're not accounting for that somehow in your profit margin, you're not making any money. You're losing money.
Yeah.
And you will never be able to pay your bills. And that's the thing is that like, unless I could support my family doing this, why am I doing it? There's nothing wrong with having it as a hobby. That's what it was in New York. And I very much enjoyed it. But if your goal and your passion is to have a real business, you have to price it so that you can pay yourself and pay your expenses and be accountable for all of that, you know, and have the type of lifestyle that you want to have. You know?
So true. So I know you well, so I want to give some background for people who are just, you know, hearing about your brand or you and Jewel of Havana or whatever. You, especially in the beginning, and you still do it, you do a lot of shows, like weekend shows, right? So how do you handle it when people come to your booth and say, oh, this is so expensive? Or how do you, because what I know I hear a lot from designers in our community, they say things along the lines like, oh, well, it's so depressing when someone says that the jewelry looks so expensive. And I remember even hearing someone in our Diamond Insiders a couple of weeks ago where they said something along the lines of like, yeah, the first person who walked up said, oh, these pearl earrings are so expensive. But then the next person who walked up bought two and didn't even look at the price and realized that was her dream client.
Exactly.
So how do you handle that when you're faced with people and you're just starting out and you're maybe feeling like a little bit insecure about what you're actually putting out there?
I was totally there. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get the whole insecurity and you know, but A, I was an actor in New York City for 25 years. I've heard it all. I have a very thick skin. That aside, if I were to coach somebody and say, everyone is not your customer. So if somebody walks up to your booth and they're like, oh, this is too expensive, that's not your girl or your guy. What I usually say in that situation is, what budget were you wanting to stay within? Let me show you what I have that might work for you. And there may be nothing in your booth that is good for them, but that is a way to respond in a positive way. Just recently, I was at a show in Shreveport, and this man wanted to have a layering necklace collection. He wanted to buy all four pieces, and he was offering me, I think the total of all the pieces together was like 7-something. And he wanted to know if I would take 150.
Oh my gosh. You're like, no, this is not the flea market. Like, no, so sorry.
So one thing that I've learned is you try never to say the word no. And it's kind of a fun game to play. So when somebody asks you something in your booth, you got to try to never say the word no. So the first thing I did was...
That's a good sales tip.
I know. It's really... I learned that actually from Bruce Baker, like way back when I was first starting out. But it's a fun game to play. It's like, how many ways can you answer someone without ever using the word no or asking a question that they could answer with the word no? So,
I like it. So how would you respond to someone? Tell us.
So what I did in that situation is I like very gently removed all of the pieces, but the one that was going to be in his budget. And I said, well, let me show you. And so I pulled this off. I said, this would make a really nice gift and it's in the budget that you want to spend. And he's like, no, but I want them all. And he goes, well, will you take 250? So then I put back one more that would add up, and I just keep showing him what he can have in his budget. And so that is not, I'm not saying no. I am not.
You're like, this is what will work. Yep.
You know, I just keep showing him what's going to work. And this man, he came, the show is, it's a long show. He came by 3 days in a row and kept trying to see if I was going to discount.
And you're like, sorry, the pieces are sold out now.
But he kept coming back at this point on the third day, like all the artists around me are like poking their heads over because they cannot believe this guy is back again. And they're like, I can't believe how patient you are. And I'm like, you know, I could be mean to him and not make the sale for sure. Or I could keep playing his game. And you know, that guy came back and bought all 4 pieces.
Like for the $700.
For the whole shebang. After all, and all I kept doing was talking value. So I showed him what he could afford. Like any number he threw out, I showed him what was in his budget. When he hemmed and hawed, I showed him the packaging. I showed him that it comes with a gift card. I wrap it. Like, I just kept talking value. And so I think in the end, he probably went to a bunch of other booths and kept trying to figure out what he was going to get. And he finally came back because I guess I talked value enough for him to understand that it's priced fairly, that if he were to, you know, go to... some other, you know, if he was to go to Tiffany's, he'd probably be paying 10 times what I was charging, even though I'm priced very fairly for what it is. It's fair to me and it's fair to him. And so anyway, that guy came back, and it's just one of those little tricks that I learned early on about human behavior and making them feel like what they're spending is worth it, because you just keep talking value. Showing them what's in their budget. You're come from a place of helping to solve
their place of service. We say place of service. Yeah. So you kind of talked about like painting the picture of your dream client and all these other things. So now you have this dream client. How are you? I have a couple of like more strategic tactical questions I wanted to ask that sort of feed into some of the things that you're doing to actually, number one, create a sense of urgency for people to buy when you're not discounting. Since you don't discount and you never really have, how are you building your email list? Like what's the way, how do you get people like engaged in your brand? Because I'm going to share a part of the story later, but I know a couple of years ago, you reached out and you said, you know, I'm just so grateful to everything that your Laying the Foundation course taught me, because I haven't told you guys this, but I had breast cancer last year and I was laying in bed, just going through the lessons again, trying to figure out how I could cut out these shows while I was healing from my surgery. And when you wrote, I just, you know, of course was like bawling, and I couldn't believe like how you'd sort of like come out this other side, because I know that you had done a lot of shows, but you'd also gotten to a place where your website was like, you used to make a couple of sales randomly, and then you were making like, you know, huge sales during the holiday season on your website. So I'd like to hear about some of the tactical things that you did to actually do that, to get that to happen.
So the first question is, how did I build my list?
Yes.
So really, when I was first starting out, it was at live shows. So before I got the diagnosis, I was doing literally, not kidding, a show every single week of the year. I think I took like
so crazy
Thanksgiving week off, and Christmas, you know, Christmas Day, you know. But I live in an area where there's so many big art festivals in the spring and in the fall, all the way up till Christmas. And then there are art markets that happen every Saturday. So I was doing, you know, Baton Rouge the first Saturday of the month, Lafayette the second and third, New Orleans the fourth Saturday. So there was no Saturday that I wasn't either at a big festival for several days or at an art market. And I was killing myself. I mean, if I'm really honest, I enjoyed it. So looking back, I know that I was killing myself. But my business was growing, the sales were growing. And if I could go back and tell myself first starting out what to do differently, it would be to stop being scared to ask people for their email.
Because that is a great tip.
It is the gold. Like I think about how many years I would just have the sign up sheet out, but I wouldn't like ask, and I was embarrassed to, you know, to be too pushy. And
yeah,
I mean, now I'm like, do you want to be on our VIP list? You know,
like you're everybody. Like, sign up. I'm going to hook you up with something great.
If they ask me for a card, I ask for their email. Like, I mean, literally like
so
I
great.
Have no shame, because the worst thing that can happen is they'll say no. And you're like, okay, I totally understand.
No worries. You're
no like, worries. Whatever. I mean, that's it.
As not attached to the over, results. That's the
exactly,
same.
Exactly. Again, not being attached to the results, because those are the people that are looking at your stuff long enough, they're interested. They're not ready to buy right now, but they're interested if they've been hovering. If they ask for your card, they're interested. They're just not ready to buy right now. And so collecting all of those at the live shows is really how I first built my list. So then over the years, when I got the cancer diagnosis and was going through all the recovery and the radiation and all that fun stuff that goes along with it, I had to cancel all of my summer shows, all of them, because I couldn't physically lift anything while I was healing. And frankly, I was in bed. I had to take a lot of naps because it zaps you of all your energy.
Oh gosh. I'm not laughing about it, but it's just like your attitude is just like such like the survivor attitude. You're like,
oh my gosh.
Look, I had to take naps and work in my bed. Like, what can I do?
Yeah. But anyway, I knew that I had to do something because I didn't want to lose momentum in my business. I didn't want to lose like all the connections I had with the people at all of these shows I was going to have to pull out of. And so I went back into the course material and started to go, how can I connect? Well, the only way I could connect was email. And up to that point, I was emailing people, but I wasn't consistent with my emails. I was not really doing it. I was letting them know when I was going to be at a show in their area. And that was about it. I wasn't really marketing well. And so what that forced me to do was really start studying and going back and going, okay, I know what a jeweler does. Now I'm going to study what a marketer does.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to layer on these other people. If you're looking at it from an actor's point of view, what does a PR person do? What does a marketer do? What are all the things that are going to make this work? Because I can't physically go to my customer anymore, or at least for right now, they need to come to me. And so that is when I started doing a lot of studying of SEO, search engine optimization, being really consistent with my emails and adding value. You know, what are some websites that you're excited to hear from every month? Why? What makes you open that email every time? So I started studying that. Oh, I see. I look forward to this email. Why do I look forward to that email? And started incorporating some of the things, some of the tactics that were being used. Most of these were not even jewelry companies. One of them was like a landscape, like a gardening nursery place. But they had a great email campaign every month, and I really looked forward to it. So I broke down, like went back and kind of studied what they do, what's the formula that they're doing, and started doing that in my emails. And so what happened was people started responding to my email like a friend would, like I was writing to them.
Yep.
And that started building.
This is where the dream client comes in, right?
Yep. It was
being
like
able
I was
to speak to them.
And they weren't long. They were short, but I just shifted the way I was talking. And it was like, I'm talking to my friend and my friend doesn't know about, you know, the healing properties of amethyst or, you know, whatever the topic is that that month, you know, what, how could I speak to them to give them something that is of value and not sell? So you're not selling, you're educating or entertaining. And then you just feature the piece that might go along with what you're talking about. So I'm not saying buy this piece, but I'm talking about what is special about this, or what's the story behind it, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And here's a picture of it. And you can click here if you want to read more or get them to the website, you know,
get them to the website.
Right. And so that consistency, so that year, that consistency is when the story you just told earlier happened, where it was every day I was waking up and it was like, you know, sale, 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 sale around the holidays.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then it died back down in, you know, after that. And I'm like, okay, how do I go make that happen all year round? And so then the next tactic came up and I started doing a private page or a hidden page on my website where I would feature pieces that were maybe very limited edition or
one of a kind
or whatever. There was a limited supply of them. And so I started doing these private sales just to people on my VIP list and letting them know I have this private page. This is the link to get there.
But it's not a sale, meaning you're not discounting it. It's just like these pieces are open to buy.
Yes.
And once they're gone and they're only charged at your full price.
Right. They're the price that everyone's going to get it at. It's not a mm-hmm. discount. It is an exclusive, like there is X number available.
And that's it. So you started building your email list by asking for emails at the shows. When you originally started emailing people, you didn't have a lot of strategy behind it and it was just sort of willy-nilly. But when you really needed to pump things up, you started studying, you know, marketing and learning not only from us, but like brands that you liked and sort of watching how they spoke to their dream clients, because you were actually a dream client of their brands. And then starting to speak to your dream clients and then creating a special experience where only people who were on your list could actually get in on special items that you had created. And that created a sense of urgency, increased your sales, and continued to get people buying. So, I mean, now your business is just every day, I feel like I'm hearing you say something like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And before we jumped on this, this call, I mentioned earlier that you said that you were just like blown away by like all these last minute orders that keep coming in. What do you think has really changed for you? I mean, those are some really great strategies to talk about how you've continued to build a brand and never discount your product, even though I made the mistake saying that you had in the beginning, but you don't. and never discount your product because you're offering it at a fair price, but not a discounted price. How have things evolved over the past 4 years since you've not only participated with us, but just learned more about running a business? I mean, I know like you've just changed so much with your brand. And I know that when you started, you know, this was a hobby and you made a commitment to move this in the direction of having a sustainable business where you're paying yourself and you're actually making a profit. What was the shift for you and how did laying the foundation help with that?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, for one of the things you guys do that is so wonderful is that you keep, you allow people to retake it over and over. Because when I first started off, to be honest, there was so much information and like my mind was blown. So I couldn't take it all in.
Yeah.
And,
well, there's a saying that you only learn about 20% of what you digest the first time you go through content. So if you read the same book 5 times, you'd probably understand like everything that was in it. So I think that that's like a normal phenomenon because like we're picking up like, you know, what resonates with us in the moment, but there's always hidden nuance.
Right. Well, and some things were just too advanced for where I was in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't ready. Like I'm trying to just dial in like, you know, a cohesive collection. Like I'm not ready for, you know,
advanced marketing tactics,
marketing 501 or whatever, you know, like now, you know, I have a really close jeweler friend who also took laying the foundation recently, but we meet every Monday. We're kind of accountability partners. So we make it fun and we'll go to lunch together and then we
awesome.
We'll implement whatever that we're going to do that week, but marketing wise. But I keep going off on tangents and then I forget
what we're talking good. About. No, so laying the foundation, there was a lot of information in the beginning and then...
And the shift. So like...
Yeah.
But I think the key is to just keep taking steps forward, and that it felt like at that time, like I was never going to get to where I am now.
Yeah.
Because I just thought there was just so much to do. And when you allow, or when I allow myself to get overwhelmed with the amount of stuff there is to do, then you end up getting paralyzed. You have like what I call analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
And so I think the key was that I just kept taking steps, little steps, even
simple
if it was
steps.
A tiny thing, simple, simple. And that's one of my big things that cancer taught me is, you know, your business needs to feed your life. Your life is not your business. And so how can you simplify it? You know, like if I have to make a decision between working late or going to my niece's dance recital, In the past, I was such a workaholic. I would have been like, I have to work. I have to work. Well, you only have one life, you
yeah.
know? So you need to set your business up in a way that you can enjoy your life and connect with the people that you love. And as
exactly.
much as you might love your business, it cannot be everything and anything. So it's like trying to identify the best steps you can take today to take one more little baby step forward in your business so that by the end of the year, you know, I sent out one email and then I'm like, okay, the best I'm going to commit to is once a month. I'm going to send out once a month. I'm going to do an email. I'm going to do it
yeah.
every single week and every single month because I knew that I could not commit to every week at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they come easier. I'm faster at it.
Yes.
I have like a really good template and formula. So now I might do every 3 weeks or every 2 weeks, depending on the time of year.
Yep.
But it's like, that was too much then. So then I was like, commit to what I know I can accomplish today, baby steps. And by the end of the year, if you just did one thing every day, that's 365 things that you accomplished in your business.
Yep. There's so many, like these simple steps, that's how you make progress. And that's really how laying the foundation is laid out. So if you were to look back sort of on your business, like specifically, like how has it changed?
Well, I'm doing a lot more web sales. I'm doing probably half, if not less than half of the shows that I used to do. I take the entire month of January off. A big lifestyle change. My husband and I in January decide three vacations that we're going to take.
Amazing.
In the year, and instead of just going along the year, like we actually put it in the calendar and schedule it in January so that everything else that happens in our life, you schedule around that because that's already decided. And
I love that.
And so it's about setting up your life so that your business supports what you want. And I think before laying the foundation, learning how to do all the things that we've learned and from each other, and has allowed me to build a better life, you know?
And it's so awesome.
Yeah. So I want that for everybody because I always say I'm a recovering workaholic, and it's very easy for me to fall back into that because I love, you know, it is not unheard of for me to look up at the clock and it's 3 a.m. and I'm in the zone in my studio, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoy that. But, you know, it is nice to turn it off, go watch a movie with your husband, have dinner with your family, be a participant in the people's, you know, your family and friends' life, and making sure you schedule that. So if I was going to say the biggest change, and it took cancer for me to learn it, is balance, work-life balance, that you can make just as much money working smarter. You don't have to work so hard. It's like choosing, you know, what do you like to call it? RGAs?
Yeah. Revenue generating activities,
yeah.
RGAs. Yeah.
And having accountability, that is really big, is having at least one other person, if not a group of people, that keep you accountable for what you say you're going to do. Even just you reminded me, like I have a friend who calls me, we go walk the LSU lakes in the morning, I probably would not go work out if it wasn't for her, because she's like, I'm on my way. I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know,
let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Or meeting Laura for lunch on Mondays. Like, I know marketing Mondays, I'm going to see my friend. We both hated doing it. So we were like, how can we make this fun? All right. Every Monday we're going to go to lunch. So at least we look forward to that. And then over lunch, we discuss what we're going to implement that day. And then we come back either to my studio or hers and we make it happen. We do it. We complete it. And that turns something that I really disliked doing into something I look forward to. And
having that accountability is huge. Like, if you can find a buddy who you like sit down and say like, look, we're going to get this done. Mm-hmm. We're going to commit to it. And also the opportunity to brainstorm with other people. That's one of the things that I love so much about what we've created in the LTF community, is that you can bounce ideas off of people and people give you feedback like, oh, well, that's a good idea, but here's maybe a different way to frame it. Or instead of spending like 5 hours of research or days of research trying to figure it out online.
Right.
So much better. Awesome. Anna, I always want to call you Anna. It's just like my natural tendency. Anna Maria, thank you so much for being here today. You're awesome. And you know, like, I just am so excited to watch you to continue to flourish and thrive, because I have to be cheesy. Hey guys, I'm going to share with you more about how you can join Anna and me for laying the foundation. But in the meantime, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. It's so good to see you.
Same here. All right. Isn't Anna amazing? Wasn't that a great episode? I am so thrilled to have had her. So remember, if you want to join us for laying the foundation and get results like Anna did, build, really increase your sales. And one thing that she didn't mention is that her sales have increased significantly since she started her business just 4 or 5 years ago. And if you're ready to get that cycle of repeat sales to stop attracting all those bargain shoppers and to be able to sell at full price for what you value, and to learn some of the marketing secrets and tips and hacks, I like to say, that are going to really help you build insane desire and demand for your brand that gets people coming back for more, so that you can, you know, start attracting more of those people who are really considered your dream clients. And to be able to create this cycle of sales consistently every single day, so that you're not trying to like push forward. It just takes one step in front of the other to really go from aspiring to rising designer. So come along, join us, become one of those wildly successful designers you've always dreamed of being, and learn how to spend more time doing what you absolutely love to do in your business, which I'm sure, like most of us, is to create. So head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/LTF and let's do this. Build the brand that you've always dreamed of having and become a wildly successful designer that you've always dreamed of. All right. Looking forward to seeing you in our episode next week. Till next time, Tracy Matthews signing off.